To Hebrews chapter 12. I encourage you to stay for prayer, and important that we pray together. You know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. And, you know, He does behold the evil, but He also beholds the good. And, you know, the Lord sees from heaven when there's a great crowd of people gathering together to go out on visitation. And the Lord sees a great crowd of people that make the sacrifice of their time and put it a priority of their life to get on their knees and pray. And so I want to encourage you in that area. You know, if you have an early morning, what you need to do is go home. When you get home from work, take a nap so you can come to prayer meeting. You know, where there is a will, there is a way. You know? You know, I know when our kids were young, we wanted to be in church on Wednesday night and Sunday night. And we always made them take a nap on Wednesday. They'd get home from school or whatever, or when they were young, they'd take a nap. They didn't necessarily want to take a nap. But they took a nap so they could come to church and enjoy church. You know, it's not fun to come to church and not enjoy it. You know, and I realize that Eutychus probably was spiritual, but it's not something you need to do purposely, you know. So there's always a will. And if your time is short, well, you know what? I don't really recommend hot dogs, but, you know, it doesn't take long to make them on Wednesday night. You know, if your family's in a big rush, I think I clocked it. It's about 35 seconds to get a hot dog sandwich and be ready to eat. So, Hebrews chapter 12, don't have much time tonight. Verse 13, verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And of course, the emphasis here is making straight paths to do that which is right, to be corrected by the Lord, to take the chastisement of the Lord with a humble spirit and learn the lesson that God has for us. And, you know, the great illustration, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, there's two kinds of repentance. There's a repentance unto death, and that's the repentance of the world. And the world gets caught in sin, and they repent, and they mope around, and they don't do right. And but there is a repentance unto life, and it's humility. But in that repentance, there is vigor, there is zeal, there is righteousness, there is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's talking about here. It says, make straight paths for your feet. You know, wouldn't it be great? You know, a child gets disciplined and they get up from being disciplined and they get up and let's just say they run outside and fix whatever they messed up or correct whatever they didn't do. And they're excited about doing the right thing. You know, that's what it's talking about. You know, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, man's spirit will mope around and do nothing. But the Spirit of God does the very opposite. The Spirit of God gives us vigor and life and zeal. And it takes our... Instead of a false humility that does nothing, there's a real humility that follows God. And so that's what he's talking about, responding to the chastening of the Lord. It says, "But that lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." The healing of the Lord that takes place in our lives when we let the Lord have His way. And what a great picture here of what God wants in our homes and our lives. And young people, when they get disciplined by their parents, and Christians when they're disciplined by the Lord. And then we look at this last verse, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. What a great verse. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, some people seem to not really care about anything. They don't seem to care that maybe they wronged someone. Maybe they don't really seem to care about some situation. They just, you know, they don't doesn't bother them. You know, a lot of times that's the way people are brought up. They're brought up just to be rough and callous and unsocial and live their own life and forget about the world. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of people, if they weren't Christians, they would just, why not? You know, why not move up north and into the middle of the woods and look at the sky and the birds and have a wonderful life? Well, that's foolishness. There's billions of people without Christ. Why would someone move up to the woods and live their own life when there's billions of people without Christ? Now we have this truth here. Follow peace. We need to be peaceable. The Bible says, as much as be in you, live at peace with all men. We need to be people that go the extra mile. You know, there's a principle here. You know, if you want your marriage to work, you put up with things. You don't look for perfection. Now, I know Thomas and Heather, they're perfect. But, you know, when, if you want your marriage to work, you don't expect perfection. You know, you have to decide to live at peace. You have to decide to let a lot of things in life go. And life is, you know, and the reason you do that is because you have a commitment. You know, we need to have a commitment. We're in a spiritual relationship. We need to have a commitment to make that work. And when we have that commitment to make that work, and we have a right relationship with God, you know, we listen to the Lord. And we take care of things when we take care of things. Notice the other half, talking about this relationship with God, and says, follow peace with all and holiness. Now this is quite a verse here. And holiness, notice what it says, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know what it means? It means when you get saved, you get sanctified. Right. And sanctification has three inseparable parts. Three inseparable parts. Initial sanctification. We get the word saints. We're set apart from the world. And we're set apart unto God's holy and exclusive service. That's initial sanctification. But you know, you can't have initial sanctification with also without progressive sanctification. And progressive sanctification is the work of God taking place in our life, that there is a continuous setting ourselves away apart from the world and setting ourselves apart unto God. And of course, everybody wants the third part of sanctification. Everybody looks forward to the day that they're going to be set apart completely from sin and the presence of sin and the sin nature. We love that part. But you know, you can't just take one of them. When we get saved, we get sanctified. We get sanctified. And you can't eliminate the second one because you want to. You know, the Bible says it a lot of different ways. The just man falleth seven times and he getteth up. That's talking about the doctrine of salvation. The Bible says, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's a part of the doctrine of sanctification. Who is it? And the Bible says in 1 John, it says, and he cannot sin because his seed remains in him. Well, that's talking about the doctrine of sanctification, isn't it? It's talking about the reality of new life in Jesus Christ, that in Christ we are sanctified. You know, you don't have to, make some kind of standard here that a person has to live up to, but there's a reality. None of us are where we ought to be. But by God's grace, because we're saved, we want to be much further than we are. It's the Spirit of God that is in us and this great doctrine of sanctification. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This is obviously a kind of a transitional phrase, but he's going from, okay, here's the chastening of the Lord. Here is lifting up those feeble knees, making straight paths. And what is the purpose of the chastisement? Holiness, to correct us. And the people of God, one of the things that we need to do is learn to respond to God's work in our life. Because he has a perfecting work that he is seeking to do in all of our lives. And that's one of the great things about being saved. Aren't you glad God doesn't give up on you? God doesn't give up on you and can't lose the Holy Spirit. And you can't lose salvation. And if you got salvation, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit doesn't stop. Oh, we may not be what we always ought to be, but the Spirit of God is constantly seeking to do his sanctifying work in our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this reminder. In an evil day, and a day in which the gospel has been cheapened. We really thank you for the real thing and for your work in our life and for that seed that remains in us that brings us back to you, that causes us to lift up our eyes and look unto thee. It causes us to get up when we fall. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would recognize that we need to cooperate with the Spirit of God and your plan for our life. And we need to be a people that are following and pursuing holiness in our lives, so that when we meet the Lord, we may not be ashamed when we see him, but we may be confident. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. The Lord is maybe speaking to your heart tonight. And you ought to. You ought to get up from going your own way. You ought to.